Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, a community that doesn't think the same or vote the same or love the same, but we're trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus. And as we mark the beginning of Pride Month and Indigenous Peoples Month, Islington marked it with an affirming Sunday. And to be affirming is to pay attention to what it means to be public and explicit in it, in our commitment to diversity, and to work together to end discrimination and provide safe place where people can be seen and known. This is more than a welcome. It is about a deep awareness and understanding. It is about seeing people and having them be known by name and choose their pronouns and tell us who they are and to bless them. And we affirm because God calls us to love one another equally and work for justice in the wider church and the world. And it's my privilege to invite a voluntary associate minister from Islington United, Reverend Ruth Noble, to share good news for us today. May it be so.
Normally you have a barefoot preacher up here, but today you have a funky shoe preacher up here. I wear funky shoes and funky socks. My socks have unicorns on them, just like my stole has. Because before I came out, and I came out late in life, that's a long story, my shoes were how I shared my identity as a queer person. And it was the only way that I could safely share my identity without being out. So our scriptures for today are all about identity and how we can be in relationship with God and with each other. The psalm, thank you, Dale, for reading it so beautifully, is about being fully known in God and in God's steadfast love for us. The gospel speaks about Jesus, the Son of Man. The Son of Man means that Jesus is fully human and fully divine, and that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others. As I was preparing this sermon, I began to wonder when the psalm was written, and what was the history behind it. What was happening to David when he wrote this psalm? David wrote this psalm just after he became king, and he had just defeated the Philistines for the second time. The first Philistine story is one that we all know well. It's the story of David and Goliath, where David, as a young shepherd, takes down the giant Goliath with a slingshot. And now he is king. And the Philistines have stolen the Ark of the Covenant, and David needs to get it back. David has always fascinated me. He's a complex character who breaks down all barriers and upends the constructs of society. David, the mere shepherd boy who becomes king. David, the bisexual icon who loved freely Jonathan and Bathsheba. David, who danced freely with very little clothing on. David, who was criticized for freely dancing with very little clothing on. And also, he was criticized for who he loved. But David was the musician who sang and wrote many of the psalms that we have in our Bible. David used his psalms to express his feelings of praise, doubt, and sadness. Psalm 139 is a hopeful lament of God knowing us and the constant presence of God in our lives. When I was a student minister, I was on internship in a congregation in Ottawa. And at, during midterm of the internship, you're supposed to pick a scripture and reflect on your experience. And I remember thinking, what scripture am I going to pick? My supervisor said, take the Bible, open it, and put your finger down and see what you come up with. And I came up with Psalm 139, this hopeful lament. And this psalm has become a big part of my whole ministry. So that thing works. It worked for me. This psalm is a poetic reflection of questioning our identity and then living in the knowledge that God knows us and loves us fully and never leaves us. Knowing is a big part of what it means to be an affirming congregation. Affirming and knowing and welcoming all different identities and orientations. Affirming says, you are welcome here. You may not think you fit in anywhere else, but you fit in here. And as Maya says, and I'm paraphrasing, we are a community that doesn't think the same, love the same, vote the same, believe the same, but we're trying to be in community together. One of my favorite television shows on HBO is a show called We Are Here. I love it, and it frustrates me. It's about three drag queens, that's the part I love, is the drag queens, who go, and then they go into places in the United States that have banned pride and banned drag. That's the part that frustrates me. And in all these cases, it is the Christian faith that is at the core of these banned laws. In each episode, the three drag queens overcome discrimination and are able to find allies and put on a drag show. And in many cases, they heal relationships through the celebration of drag. We are here. In the psalm, we hear the words, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The God of love, the God of hope, the God of kindness, fearfully and wonderfully has formed each of us. Fear and wonder are two aspects of what it means to be human. We are often fearful to share ourselves, our true selves, for fear of criticism or exclusion. Wonder in all its forms can lead us down a path of safety that encourages us to deepen our knowing of ourselves and our community in a spirit of inclusion. The children went off to their godly play, and at godly play, the wonder questions are at the core of every story. The wonder questions at the end of the storytelling and godly play help deepen the exploration of each Bible story. The wonder questions deepen our story in faith, where we are trying to be in community with one another, where we are trying to offer kindness to one another. When Jordan Cantwell was the moderator of the United Church of Canada between 2015 and 2017, I was working at the General Counsel Office in Mission and Service. And Affirm United, the Affirm United Committee, was in-house for meetings. And I remember we gathered for lunch on one day, and we began by introducing ourselves and sharing our pronouns. We went around the room, and when we got to Jordan, I remember that Jordan said, "It doesn't really matter what pronoun you use for me, just speak with kindness." I remember that so well because it's true. Kindness is at the core of everything. Because if we are kind, we will respect one another. If we are kind, we will strive to get to know one another and get to know one another's pronouns and to understand one another. For we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Kindness is at the core of affirming. Now, God and the 2S LGBTIASAQQ+ community has not always been connected. Many in the community have been hurt by faith in the church. not necessarily faith in God, but rather, like David, the heavy criticism of people in the church to freely be themselves. I have many friends who will not enter a church. I wanted to host a movie night in a church near the village during Pride one year, and I invited a number of my friends, and it was actually the movie Pride, and they wouldn't come because it was in a church. And the church I was holding it in is the most unchurch-like church you can get in Toronto, and they still would not come through the door. It saddens me that the church has done so much harm. But that is why Affirm is so important. The Affirm symbol says to those who are seeking a spiritual home that this is a safe space, a space where you are known, you are seen, a place where you can belong. The psalm speaks of the God that knows us, God is with us, God made us. St. Patrick's breastplate uses the similar poetic thought, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ beneath me. These are the images of the divine, of the embrace of the divine. And it is this embrace that causes David to dance as the Ark of the Covenant is brought into Jerusalem. The Ark, the promises of God. In the gospel reading, Jesus speaks about being the servant. Jesus, the teacher, teaches us how we should be in the world, seeing and serving one another. Know ourselves beyond the binary. Jesus turns the relationship with the disciples on its ear. It's no longer teacher and students, but now servant and those who serve. This must have been confusing for the disciples, but most things are confusing for the disciples. But the disciples would have been operating on a construct of Jesus as the leader, and then to have Jesus become the servant, it must have thrown them for a loop. But constructs can restrict us. Constructs are the binary that society has imposed on us. But in faith, we are challenged to live beyond the binary. Jesus challenged constructs. Jesus pushed against the binary, against the status quo. When I was about 12 years old, I remember questioning somebody about their sole use of he when they spoke about God. I remember wondering why they did that, because God is male and female, and therefore neither. Back then, I did not have the language of non-binary. Back then, I did not have the language of using they to speak about God. God is the original they, the OG of non-binary. The use of the term OG to highlight the wonderful way we encounter God. OG is slang for original gangster, which is defined as someone who is incredibly authentic. The incredible authentic connection with God can be the only place we can be honest. Sometimes it is the only open and honest relationship that we have. For many years when I was in the closet, it was only God who truly knew me. Only God who wrapped me in so much love that I could have the courage to come out and be the authentic, oh my God, I didn't think this was gonna happen. Be the authentic non-binary human I was created to be. Sometimes it's still a struggle. And sometimes all you can do is dance, like David, regardless of criticism. I remember my first Pride parade that I marched in. I went with the United Church group, and I was beside Jennifer Henry. Where are you, Jennifer? Jennifer's here, there she is. And Jennifer and I danced the entire parade route together. It was so hot, but we danced the whole way, and I have never forgotten that day. That was an incredible experience for me. Last year, I volunteered with Pride Toronto. I've been volunteering with Pride Toronto for a number of years now, and last year, again, I was the lead for Family Pride. And when you're a lead, it means you get to wear the radio all weekend long with this headset in your head, and you hear everything that's going on at the festival footprint, whether it pertains to you or not. And I remember sitting and welcoming people to Family Pride on Sunday when the parade was going on, and I heard a frantic call for help. It said, "I am in a golf cart with one of the co-chairs of the board, and we are surrounded by protesters. Send help." And I then heard the operations manager say, "Help is on the way." I remember sitting there helpless, waiting to hear an all clear over the radio, which came minutes later. This incident, sadly, was one of about 50 that happened over the entire weekend last year. And the operations manager, when I talked to them later on about this, they said, "Oh, that didn't even make the top 10 of incidents that happened." There have been more and more incidents like this, more and more swarming, and more hate being spoken, much of it in the name of religion. Pride should be a place where everyone can come together and celebrate who they truly are, not a place where people will come and spout hate. These protests have made me acutely aware that now more than ever, we need Affirm United. Affirm is a place where we can celebrate our identities beyond the binary. You know, many congregations will go through the affirming process and they'll become affirming and think, "Well, that's it, we're done. We don't have to do anything else." But we're never done. There's still much more to do. Affirming is a lifelong process of learning and connection, of creating a safe space for people like me. People who have hidden themselves, people who live on the margins, people who need to know that there is a place of welcome for them, a place beyond the trauma. There are 71 countries in the world where it is punishable by death to be queer, and many others where that still deal with discrimination from officials. In 2017, I went on a mission and service trip to Kenya, where myself and 14 others visited mission and service partners. Carol Bennett from this congregation was one of those who went on the trip. Is Carol here? There she is. Hey, Carol. And Carol and I and a few others went to a safe house, an LGBTQ+ safe house run by our partner, Pembizo. In Kenya, it's only illegal to be LGBTQ+ if you act on it. So after that time at the safe house, I became acutely aware of how dangerous it was to be myself. And from that moment until we landed in Toronto, I was careful about what I said and how I acted. I am thankful to live here. And even though we have discrimination here as well, at least here, I can be part of the 2S LGBTIASAQQ+ community. There is a plus at the end because the acronym grows as people discover their true identities. 2S is Indigenous to Spirit, a person who encompasses male and female spirits. There's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, intersex, asexual, straight, ally, queer, and questioning. And the plus encompasses so much more. Many in the queer community, we often call our acronym Alphabet Soup. And even though within the community, we're constantly learning about each other, constantly growing in faith and love with one another. And that is what is at the core of affirming, that we grow in faith and love together. And if all else fails, just dance.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.